Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Parshas Nitzavim, Tavshin Ayin Vav. Ah, the last year of Tavshin Ayin Vav. Or HaChaim. Yeah, tears rolling down our faces. Atem Nitzavim Hayom. The Parsha begins. You are standing here today, all of you, before Hashem, your God. Who's standing here? Rasheichem, Shifteichem, Zikneichem, a long list. The Torah is very precise. The heads of the tribes, the elders, the officers, the men, the women, the children, the geirim, those who chop wood, those who draw water. Very, very lengthy list. Says the Archaim HaKadosh, Tzarech ledas kavanas maimer zeh. We need to understand what exactly the Torah is getting at with all of this. Od lamo hutzruch lefarid rasheichem v'gomer tapchem v'gomer v'lo hispik lomer v'derech chlal kulchem. First of all, what's this Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem? We have to figure out what's happening in this week's parsha. It starts off with some degree of acceptance of some type of bris, but it seems like that happens a few times throughout the parsha. So Bechlal, what's going on? And Beprat, why mention all of these people individually if it already says Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem? It says everyone's there. So why break it down into these categories? O Tzarech Ledas, Tam HaBris Hazah. Halo B'samach Amar Eile Divrei HaBris. Moshe is going to say to Klal Yisrael, these are the terms of the bris, of the covenant. So what exactly is this bris that precedes the reacceptance of the bris? And if you want this to be part of the bris, so then Hayelo lahakdim hadvarim, vayomer al hakol, elu divrei habris. So why not start, elu divrei habris, introduce me to the covenant, and then point out that included in this covenant are these categories, if that's meaningful to mention these various categories, to break it down in that way. So what exactly is going on? So says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and this is what our Gemara Shir will be about today as well, in the lens of Gemara, and in the lens of Rosh Hashanah, in the lens of Lamdus. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, before we come to the bris, a Jew needs to understand his achrayus to other members of the bris. What does that mean? Vinira. Ki kavanas Moshe v'bris zehu lachnisum ba'arvus ze'al zeh. Moshe was telling Klal Yisrael, see, the whole reason we're re-accepting the bris is to mechazik the bris, to mechazik that commitment to Torah, right, to the institution of Torah. So another way that we're mechazik, as he's about to explain, the institution of Torah, is that we pull together and we help each other. And therefore Moshe says, before we come to Eile Divrei HaBris, which is the Rechaim HaKadosh's question, why not start Eile Divrei HaBris? Says the Rechaim, before we get to Eile Divrei HaBris, first Moshe wants to lachnisum ba'arvus ze'al ze'at, to create that reality called arvus, Klal Yisrael, Kol Yisrael Ereivim, that every Jew should be what? Should be responsible for one another. Okay? Lavit Rebbe used to also say that a rev, which means, the way it's used like in the Gemara and the Mishnah, a rev is a cosigner. That if you default on the loan, someone else will cover for you. But a rev also, like we say in Birchas HaTorah in the morning, v'harevna. So Kol Yisrael, it's a very sweet vart. And it's very, l'vavach Rebbe l'shitasa. And it's pun intended, because a rev means sweet, right? So Kol Yisrael, v'harevna, like we say in Birchas HaTorah, make the words of Torah sweet. Kol Yisrael, a revim zelazah, means that a Jew should be sweet to one another. But Pasha Pshat, he's saying it's arvus, it's a responsibility to look out for one another. Which again is a very important part of coming to the Yom Noram, to be able to feel that I'm connected to a tzibur, that the tefillah of the tzibur we know is never rejected. So much so that even in halacha, listen, by chassidus there is such an inyan that a Jew sometimes davens b'yachidus. Premeditated, not where he overslept and hit his alarm clock 25 times and then, you know, That's not the Indian, right? That's deceiving ourselves. But there is a time. Many tzaddikim did it more often. But there's a time again for every Jew to say, I need to daven b'yachidus today. And there's a benefit to that if it's used properly. Again, how and when is a good question. But Rav Moshe Feinstein has in a tshuva, and the Eretz Tzvi, the Kaddish Glover, who again, whose picture is displayed on the 5th floor of 5A of the library, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Fromer, Hashem Yinkum Damo, they both have tshuvas in their writings, in Rav Moshe's Igros Moshe, Kajal of the Eretz Tzvi, where they seem to say that Bizman Hazeh, Tefillah B'Tzibor is an absolute. Why? Because the Gemara says that the Tefillah of the Tzibor is never rejected. Right? The Tefillah of the Yachid depends on your worthiness. So therefore, bechlal b'zman hazeh, we're not so confident in our ability to have kavana. The only way I can be confident that my tefillah is going to be answered is really what? Is through riding on the coattails of the tzibur. That tzibur, right, is never nimas, the Gemara says. It's never despised by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So in that sense, Rav Moshe and the Eretz Tzvi and the Tshuva say that while tefillah b'tzibur may have once be thought of as a maila in tefillah, it might become more absolute today. Because you're not, your tefillahs can't be answered. Kim'at can't be answered because we don't know, we don't trust ourselves enough. So much so, what does the halacha say? Shulchan Aruch, Simin Kuf Aleph. Shulchan Aruch says, I think it's Kuf Aleph. Shulchan Aruch says, the first three brachas of Shmona Esrei, the beginning of Shmona Esrei, a person needs to what? Kavana is ma'akev. That much more so one has to have kavana. What happens if you don't have kavana? Me'ikar adin, you should repeat it. Bizman is that, if you spaced out during the first brachas, do you repeat it? The Rabbah says, don't repeat it. Why? Because you're going to space out again. You're not going to have kavana the second time. So what's the point? What's the point of trying to say Shmona Esrei again? We have no confidence in you if you're going to get it right the second time. So you see already in the times of the Rabbah, the halacha was saying, we don't have confidence in your ability to daven. Right? Tefillah is a davar shetzar omid beruva shel olam, ubnei adam mezalzalim bo, the Gemara in Brachos. It's a hard thing, tefillah. So therefore, the power of tzibur is critical. And therefore, Yom Noraim, a zman where there's so much tefillah, there's so much of a focus on tzibur. And that's why every year before Rosh Hashanah, we read, Atem nitzav mayom, lachnisam bebris, ba'arvus, zel zeh. That a Jew should be sweet to one another. We wish each other a shana, tova, umesuka. I heard from my good friend Rabbi Shai Schechter, Shlita. He said the Rav Asher Weiss told him, why do we wish people that they should have a year that's what? That's tova, umetuka. Tova, umesuka. It should be sweet, and it should be good. So Rav Asher Weiss had a very good ha'ara. Pashit, but a very sharp ha'ara. There are things in life that are good, objectively good for us, but they're not particularly sweet. There are things in life that are sweet, but are not particularly good. We wish each other that the good things that we have should also be sweet. It's like some of the Sfarim explain. When we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Gomel Chasadim Tovim. Chasadim Tovim as opposed to Chasadim that are not Tovim? Isn't Chasad by definition Tov? The answer is no. There are Chasadim that are not so Tov. There are Chasadim, right, that there's an element of Bidi'eved woven into it. A person's in jail and you get them out of jail. Right? So that's a chesed, but it's not chasadim tovim. I would rather have never been in jail. Right? It's a broken matzav, and the chesed helps, but it's not the type of chesed you want to come around again. So we wish each other that it should be tova umesuka. It should be sweet, and it should be good. Okay? I'm not sure how I got off on that tangent, but yes, Josh Garen.
Also, though, we learned that the yachid's not out of the game from other Yisrael, right?
The yachid is
that we learn that shuv is not out of the play for the yachid from Adam,
right?
And from the seaboard is from Fashal.
Well, no, David. From David is the yachid, right? David wasn't right for the Maisa, and David sinned in order to teach Tshuva to the masses. Klaus wasn't fit for Chere Egel, and they stole the Chere Egel to teach the power of Tshuva even to the seaboard, right? Yeah, of course, obviously a person who is davening alone, he can be answered. But the point that Rav Moshe Feinstein is making, and the point that the Eretz Tzvi is making, is that Bizman HaZeh, we become more dependent, as you read this Hadoros takes its toll, and we become weakened as mindful Jews, so the power of Tzibur becomes that much more critical. And again, that's why every year before Rosh Hashanah, we read, Atem Nitzav Mayom Kulchem, to come together in this way. Kulchem. Tzibur. To stand together. Okay? Yep. To stand badin.
You better daven with tzibur in America than the yachid in Israel?
Is it better to daven with
tzibur
in America than to daven b'yachidus in Eretz Yisrael? That is a hard question to answer. I don't know. Good question. No, because when you're in Eretz Yisrael, Gemara says it's like a person who has a god. And if you're in Chutz La'aretz, like a Jew doesn't have a god. Where the Ramban explains, Hashem watches more directly over Eretz Yisrael and assigns Malachim, so to speak, to watch over Chutz La'aretz. So therefore, when I'm talking to Hashem more directly, there's maybe a better chance than having a big gathering of people and then communicating with God over Skype from Chutz La'aretz, because from a distance.
Home of your 10 in Chutz La'aretz, when you it's not, then it's not a god right in your face. Come over if that's even it's.
Okay.
That's better.
Yep, so that's the question. All right, so let's see. So Moshe wanted to bring them into the bris, and he wanted them to come in as a raven, looking out for one another. To make sure that each Jew, right? They should just know the context of that pasuk is that the Jews would say to one another, let's do avodah zarah. So that's why some people don't like that song. Right, because the context of that pasuk is the Navi saying how sad it is that the Jews are being mechazik each other in avodah zarah. But I always thought the whole point of the song is that that's the tikkun. If we could be mechazik each other to do averos, let's be mechazik each other to do mitzvos. So each person should say to his friend, chazak, be strong. We need pasim ze ba'ad ze.
What song
Chazak, chazak. Yeah, that one.
What is
Nitpasim means to be, literally to be seized, to be caught. To be caught for one another. Right? To feel that what? That if my friend's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, I'm busted. That's what Nitpasim means. To literally be seized, to be trapped, to be caught. One for the other. Va'eid ha'ne'man. Masha gamar omar anistar slashem alokeinu va'niglos. Lanul vaneinu. And the greatest proof, says the Archaim HaKadosh, that what I'm telling you is correct, is because what do we find a number of psukim later? The nistaros, Lashem Elokeinu. What a person does in private, not your problem. Vaniglos. But what you see another Jew do, it is your problem. You can't close your eyes and look the other way.
Where is that possible?
What, Hanistaros? It's coming up. Hanistaros is Perach of Tes Pasuk Chav Ches. 29-28. Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu Vahaniglos Lanu Ulevaneinu Ad Olam. Yeah, right here, in the Tum. Yeah, it's about 20 psukim away from where we are right now. Temnitz of Mayom. Okay, so you are responsible. Vahaniglos Lanu Ulevaneinu, you can't look away. As I'm saying that, I'm just thinking of a new vart, maybe in Parshas Kisetze. Because it says, when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, what does the Torah say? You're not allowed to look away. Right? A person, the Torah says don't look away. The Gemara says sometimes hisalamta, sometimes there are people who are allowed to look away. Right? If it's beneath your kavod, you're allowed to look away. We didn't really get to see these pieces inside, but in Parshas Kisesi, the Rechaim HaKadosh has beautiful, beautiful insights into Hashavas Aveda, and how if there's a Jew who's lost, who's wandering, you have a responsibility to return him to his place. And you can't look away. So that's part of what this bris is about. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh means if you see another Jew who's not doing mitzvos, that's your problem. Haniglos lanu levaneinu. It's your problem. It's your family's problem. It's everyone's problem. Everyone needs to take responsibility for that. Ve'ein zeh bris shomer besof parshas Savo. This is not the same as the bris that again that we committed ourselves to in parshas Kisavo. Ki oso bris hu'al atzman. Previously, each Jew signed up for himself. Now we're creating a new degree of obligation. Ve'zeh yischayev kol echad al achihu. Ha'ivri, to take care of one another, our fellow Jews, kafiya yecholis shebiyad kol echad, as one is able to do, to have a hashba on someone else. Someone told me a couple months ago that when he was a camper in camp, his camp counselor used to always say the following line. I thought it's a chashuv line. Frat, you're going to love this line. I quoted that Roshinberg meister, by the way, Shkoyach. Went over well. His camp counselor, the head counselor, used to say, a Jew has to be like a thermostat, not like a thermometer. What's the pshat? A Jew should be like a thermostat, not a thermometer. See, a thermometer, what? A thermometer just measures what's happening. Right? A thermostat dictates what's happening. A thermostat says how it has to be. So a Jew has to look at the world. We can't just be aware of what's happening, which is very important. A thermometer is very important to be able to make an accurate assessment of where we're holding. But I have to be like the thermostat that sets the tone. That says how it needs to be. This is the temperature we need to get to. Right? This is where Klal Yisrael needs to be holding. So now we can learn the psukim. Atem nitzav mayom kuchem. What does it mean? Shakovanu al derech omro. Nitzavim. How do you translate the word nitzavim? Atem nitzavim. You are standing. But it could also mean something else as the Archaim HaKadosh. Hanitzav al HaKotzrim. He quotes the pasuk in Rus in the second parak. Hanitzav al HaKotzrim. The one who is nitzav, not just standing by those who are reaping, but is appointed. Lashon minoi. So atem nitzavim hayom. Hashem turns to every Jew and says, you are appointed today. Every Jew, Rasheichem, Shivteichem, Ziknechem, Shotreichem, Tavchem, Neshechem, Gercha, Shevakarim, Machanecha, woodchoppers, water drawers, every single Jew has to think, who can I have a hashpon? Who can I help? Who can I invite to be part of the Tzibur? The Tzibur being Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. Anitzav lakotzim, ba'omer kulachem, perish, kulam yesh aleim ol zeh. Kol echad lefi mashu. Each person has to carry this responsibility to whatever degree he can. Like the Gemara says in Shabbos, daf nun dalet amud beis, kol mishiyesh ba'yado limchos b'chol ha'olam, nitvas hakol. A person who can take a chayis for the whole world has to take a chayis for the whole world. If that's within your reach, then that's what you're going to be expected to do. V'chol mishiyesh biyado limchos b'anche iro, nitvas hakol anche iro. V'chol mishiyesh biyado limchos b'nei beiso, nitvas b'nei beiso. Right? Each person. Can I influence my city? Can I influence my family? V'hu mashaper at akasav kan v'amar rasheichem. Each person, in accordance with his ability, those who can influence the entire Jewish people, you're expected to influence everyone. And if one Jew is not holding where he needs to be holding, well, you will be held accountable for that, because it's within your sphere, it's within your reach. No, it's empowering. It's not scary, it's empowering. It's a chizik for us to know that we can make a difference and we can have a hashpah. And what happens when a Jew, by the way, tries to have a hashpah and it doesn't work? Right? Rabbi Nachman talks about the words bouncing back to you sometimes. I saw a beautiful word. The Skolia Rebbe says, a sefer called the Vacharta V'chaim. So on page 283 in the Vacharta V'chaim from the present Skolia Rebbe Shlita, the Rebbe says, we know the Maimer Chazal, Dvarim hayotzim min halev, words that are spoken from the heart, enter the heart. Right? If you want to have a sponsor, you need to speak from the heart. So Skolia Rebbe said a beautiful word, and it's a big chizik. Because there are times when you speak, the way that the P.S.S.R. describes in Savaziras, that Shal Shudas, where he was trying to talk and no one was listening, and he went outside and he just started talking to the trees. He said, no one, the world's listening. No one else seems to care. But you could always, you know, even if you feel like no human being wants to listen to you, so talk to the world. The stars are listening, the sand is listening, the skies are listening, the clouds are listening, the birds are listening. He went out on his porch. He said, I was very frustrated. I went out on my porch and I spoke to the world. So you could always speak to the world. But says the Skolia Rebbe, Dvarim hayotzim min halev nechnasim el halev. Skolia Rebbe says, when you speak from the heart, when you decide I'm going to be a thermostat, not a thermometer, when you feel passionate about something and you speak from the heart, even if no one's there to receive it, nechnasim into your own life. Nechnasim into your own life. So you're never wasting your time. You try to speak to this Jew and you feel like, my words didn't enter his heart. But if you spoke from a deep place, it'll have a hashpah on yourself. And at the very least, that's certainly within our reach. If I can't influence one other person outside of myself, at the very least, I can't influence my city, I can't influence the whole world. At the very least, right, I can influence the whole world, which is the Olam Katan. I can influence myself. And if I can't influence my entire self, I can at least influence what? I can influence Anche Iro. Like the Pasuk says, that the body is an ear katana. So maybe I can influence some of the parts of the body. Maybe I can have a shpah on myself. If I'm sincere and I'm committed to being part of this this bris. Okay, yes, a couple quick questions, comments.
Where do we draw the line between kind of, you know, muster on a friend,
yeah,
and kind of...
Good question. It can take too long to answer, so I'm not going to answer it now. Because I have to be sensitive. I saw a guy last night, he says, I listened to your shiurim, they're 40 minutes, it's perfect for my commute back and forth. So we gotta be sensitive to our, you know, our online friends also. Especially since I can't even hear the questions sometimes. But it's a good question. When does one know to push and to try to influence, and when does one know to pull back? Because
we should do a Sunday show.
Because you're gonna, you know.
Do you record every single time?
No.
When you
yes, Jack?
When you say influence your friend, are you saying like by acting in a way that they should act, or in a way like talking to them about what, like, When you say like influencing, are you saying like, I don't know, like going to Minion, going right. to sleep at night? Or are you saying like, why aren't you going to sleep?
Again, whoever you think you can influence, you have to know who's within your sphere. You have to know who you can have hashpah on. But we have to realize, we're always having hashpah whether we realize it or not, and we're always being mushpa whether we realize it or not. We're always being influenced. We don't realize. You don't even realize how much you've been influenced. Since you came to YU, you've been influenced by a lot of things. Things you recognize and things you don't recognize. And you've influenced a lot of people, whether you recognize it or don't recognize it. Rav Gifter used to tell a story about his two uncles. You know Rav Gifter, Mordechai Gifter, Rashi from Tells? You know who his two uncles were? Also leading rabbis from Tells, Rashi Yeshiva from Tells. Rav Elia Meir Bloch, right? The Bloch family was the founding family of the Tells Yeshiva. And his other uncle was Rav Mordechai Katz, or Matal Katz. Chaim Mordechai Katz. So he once said, I heard my uncles having a conversation. He said, my two uncles were talking to each other. This was after Tells had come to America. Right? Rav Mordechai Katz, and that's how they survived. Unfortunately, Tells was terribly decimated by the Nazis in Machshon. And some of the great leaders of the Tells Yeshiva lost their lives. But Rav Matal Katz and Mordechai Katz and Rav Elia Meir got stuck in America fundraising when the war got really bad, and that's how they survived and brought Tells to America. So Rav Mordechai Gifter said, I once heard my two uncles speaking, and one of them said to the other, it's kavaldik. We've been in America for a bunch of years already, and the culture of America hasn't had an effect on us. There's a very strong culture in America. There are many values that are against Torah in America. And Baruch Hashem, I haven't been affected by it at all. So the other uncle said back, right, to the other one, again, it's not clear in the story that I saw it. It's not clear if Rav Elia Meir said to Rav Matal Katz or vice versa. He said back to him, the fact that you think that you haven't been affected is the greatest proof that you've been affected by American culture. It's not possible. It's not possible for a person to not be mushpa by his surroundings. So therefore, it's a good question. Right? Yitzchak Mordechai and Jack, it was a good question. To what degree do I get involved? To what degree do I push? To what degree do I have ashpa? But you have to realize you're automatically having ashpa, that's first of all. And it's always kedai to try even if you don't think it's going to work. However, having said that, right, if it's going to push a person farther away, so then that person is obviously outside of your sphere of influence, direct influence, and don't do it. But each person has to take on what he can take on. If you're Roshechem, you take on all of Klal Yisrael. If you're Ziknechem and Shotrechem, Kol Zakin Yischayev HaMishpachto. Right? The grandparents have an achrayis for the grandchildren, and for the children. Right? The Zakenim. The Shoshrechem. Kol Ish Yisrael. Heim Ha'amon Kol Echad Yischayev HaBnei Beiso. Every Jew has to be responsible for his own family members. Lezehiv Sikha Kosov Kan V'sidr Tapchem. But now it says, and this might answer your question, right? What about children? What about the babies? The Tapchem. V'sidr Tapchem B'fnei Atzma. Ki Eilu Acherim Nitpasim Aleihem Sheheim HaReshumim B'Pasuk Shelafan Of Kol Echad Kafi Mashehu Ve'ein Heim Nitpasim Alecherim. What he's saying is, if you look at the breakdown of the Pesukim, what's the first Pasuk in the Parsha? Atendet Zom V'yom Kulchem L'fnei Hashem Lukeichem Rashaychem Shivteichem Ziknechem Shotreichem Kol Ish Yisrael Adkan Pasuk 1. Those people have achrayis for others. Now it gives us a list of people who what? Who we have an achrayis to, but they themselves are not held accountable because they're not necessarily in a position of influence that there's an expectation that they will influence. Who's that? Tapchem, the children, Nisheichem. Okay, this might sound a little sexist, but certainly from the Orach Chaim Kadosh's perspective, women who traditionally played a much more reserved role, who aren't active in the public sphere, Gercha Asher B'Karev Machanecha, a ger, because he's newer to the religion, he's also seen as someone who doesn't have necessarily that same sphere of influence, okay? But he is someone who we're responsible to. And that's how the Orach Chaim ends the piece, by quoting the Gemara Nida. You can see a couple lines down. He quotes the Gemara Nida Yud Gimel, Koshim Gerim L'Yisrael Kisapachas. Converts are troublesome. Now we have different Mamar Chazal about converts. Some very positive, some seemingly more negative. But again, they have to be understood properly. What does it mean when the Gemara says that Gerim are difficult for the Jewish people, kisapachas, like tzaras? What it means is exactly this. that they don't have an achrayas necessarily to the tzibur, but the Torah places a tremendous achrayas upon those Jews who are natural born Jews to provide for the ger, to look out for the ger. It's our responsibility. We'll touch on it in the shir later about whether or not there's an inyan of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh by a ger. Right? Do the regular rules of responsibility one Jew to another apply to a ger? The Rechaim HaKadosh is saying the ger doesn't have the same achrayas to you as you have to him. So does that mean, can the ger make kiddush for me? I can make kiddush for the ger. Can the ger make kiddush for me? Is this a vart in machshava? Is this a halachic vart? What the Rechaim HaKadosh is saying here? So we have to see. Okay, but we'll talk about that in halacha later. Okay. Fine. So Adkan. So this is his opening. This is his opening opening lesson to us that a Jew needs to understand the power of influence, and every Jew has to take a chayis for one another. And to say it again in a more modern way, we need to be thermostats and not thermometers. Yes, Yaakov.
One thing I think that could be a perpetual struggle, which like the pasuk might answer itself, is like sometimes it's a question of how do you compartmentalize between being. Now's the time to influence, and when's the time to be influenced by the.
Right. When do I lead, and when do I.
Right, so how does a person.
When do I try. That? Right, that's a very good question, also.
So, like, maybe I was thinking, because when it comes to making decisions for a person, like, meaning, is this the time for me to, like, really enjoy something or to give to other people?
Right.
To also perform enjoyment? So, like, maybe the pasuk kind of answers it when it says, I time it's up, because, like, it has to be that the person already feels like. They're on their feet.
Good. So look at the very next piece. Good, I'm so happy you said that. That dafka, a person who's able to stand on his own two feet, is then able to start having ashpa. But a person who's not stable enough shouldn't really be having ashpa on others. Yeah, the way the mashpia, when he was giving a couple of years ago those shiram on how to be a mashpia and how to have ashpa, one of the things he emphasized that a Jew needs to try to just overflow. Meaning try to fill yourself up to the point that you're overflowing and having ashpa on others. It shouldn't be that you have to work so hard to have a hashpa. You should become the type of person that your hashpa is just automatically overflowing. And once your cup is overflowing, then you can give to others. But yeah, there has to be a time where one develops himself before he proactively tries to influence others. It gets tricky sometimes, you know? You're at a stage where like you're still in yeshiva, but you're an NCSY advisor, or you're a youth leader in shul, or you're in a position of ashpa, and automatically, again, within our families, we're always in different positions of ashpa. But again, do we seek them out, or is it time to be more reserved and to learn from others? But I like what you said about being able to stand up tall, because that's what the words mean, and that's exactly what he says in the next piece. Not exactly, but it's very similar to what he says in the next piece. Take a look at this piece. Od remez ba'omro, atem nitzavim, you are standing lifnei Hashem. What does it mean? Lefisha kol shehu meruchak me'akedusha, komaso nemucha v'rosh ha'shvela. Anyone who's far from holiness, he becomes a person who's not able to stand up tall. And his head is hung low. When a person gets involved in things that are unholy, right, we don't feel it. You can see a person walking down the street sometimes. You could say that person's involved in not good things. You can see by the way he carries himself. There's no confidence in the way that he walks down the street. So atem nitzam ayom kuchem lifnei Hashem. Atem nitzam ayom kuchem lifnei Hashem. If you're lifnei Hashem, then what? Then you're nitzavim. Then you're able to stand up tall. To be able to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Nam, what did you want to say?
Just a quick question. If a child is born from a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother...
Jewish.
100%?
Jewish, 100%.
But it's not...
100%. I don't want to discuss it anymore. It was 100%.
Why wouldn't it be a lesser level?
It's not. It's a Jew. If your mother's Jewish, you're Jewish. That's it. Total Jew. Perfect Jew. 100%. 100%. There might be what to discuss, but it's 100%. It's machlokas in the Gemara. We pass it 100%. We follow the mother. Okay. Now I want to just tell you a vart from the Chazon Ish. I saw once in the Haggadah Shel Pesach of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish had a nice pshat in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that we all know very well. Because in Pirkei Avos it says v'hamidu talmidim harbe. Right? I want you to have a lot of talmidim. So again, many talk about, but I'm not a Rebbe, so I don't have a lot of talmidim. Everyone has a lot of talmidim, whether you realize it or not. That's not the Chazon Ish's vart. The Chazon Ish's vart, he emphasizes the word v'hamidu. V'hamidu talmidim harbe. That means talmidim harbe means that you should make sure that your talmidim are ha'amidu harbe, right? The harbe is not going on talmidim, the harbe is going on the ha'amidu. Stand up your talmid a lot. Give your talmid the backbone to be able to be his own person. What we spoke about the other week when I told you my heretical vart in Pirkei Avos. Asei lecha rav, you should have a rebbe, and you should distance yourself from suffik. So the traditional way to interpret is, by having a rebbe, you ask your questions, then you don't have sveikos. But I wanted to say, again, I think it's emes, asei lecha rav, you need to have a rebbe to ask questions too. But istalik with a suffik, not everything's a suffik. Hamidu talmidim harbe, you have to have your own backbone. If the rebbe was a good rebbe, he gave you the ability to go out on your own. Rav David always tells, my brother's wife, Rina Leah, formerly Stavsky, currently Weinberg, so her grandfather, Rabbi Stavsky, was a Talmud of the Rav. And her grandfather was a very chashuv Rav in America for many, many years. So when he first became a rabbi in Ohio, and he had a difficult shaila, he called Rav Soloveitchik. He called Rav Soloveitchik, wanted to talk to the Rav about the shaila. So Rav Soloveitchik said to him, he said, listen, yes, I'm your rabbi, and I'm always here for you, right? But I gave you smicha, and I taught you how to do this on your own. And I don't want you to feel that you can answer this shaila. You have the ability to answer this shaila. That's a good rabbi. V'amidu talmidim harbe. That the Rebbe says, I can't carry on my back forever. I need to give you the tools to be able to carry yourself. Alright, and unfortunately you see guys who are very inspired in yeshiva, but they don't know how to make it on their own. They're always gonna be holding on to someone, clutching on to someone in order to make it. So atam nitzavim, if you're able to carry yourself, that's a sign that you're lifnei Hashem. Part of becoming the type of person who stands before Hashem is being able to stand on your own. Okay? Let's go weiter. Let's skip ahead to the paragraph that begins Od Yirtzeh. Okay, it's probably about three paragraphs later. On Pasuk Yud Beis, Laman Hakimoscha, the Pasuk says, in order to establish you today as a people to Him, and that Hashem should be your God, Laman Hakimoscha. So go to the couple lines after that, Od Yirtzeh. Okay, going further with this theme that we've been discussing. Od Yirtzeh L'seis, Tam L'bris Ha'arvus. Why do we need to emphasize the Arvus? Shelo yomar adam lama yasa Hashem kol avadav lachbir ulam lechayvam b'maise hazulas. Is it not enough for Bona Sholom that you gave me so many things to do, but now you're going to what? Lachbir ulam, to make heavy, to make weighty, the ol, the yoke, to hold me responsible for the actions of zulas, of someone else? That's a lot. It's hard enough to take care of myself, Rabbona Sholom. L'zeh Amar, Hashem says, I'll tell you why I'm doing this. And it is about you. It's also about you. L'zeh Amar, Ki alokim chashava l'tova, l'man akim oscha lo la'am. That's what this pasuk is saying. Why did I do this? Says pasuk Yirbeis, l'man akim oscha la'am. So that what? So that you can be my people, and v'hu yiyeh l'cha l'elohim. And that Hashem can be your God. This is Moshe responding. You can be the nation of God, and God will be your God if we do this. Why? Because if we don't look out for one another, look how quickly the whole Jewish people could disintegrate. As individuals and as a tzibur. Look what he writes. L'zeh amar ki alokim chashava l'tova l'man akim oscha lo la'am perish. Shezu l'zeh, without this technique, without this mechanism of holding it together, yiyu Yisrael chozrim l'achoreyem. As time goes on, everyone's going to slip away. Right? Think about B'derach Jerush. Think about that scene where Aaron and Moshe and the Zakenim are going to Paro. And then it says, Aaron and Moshe are standing before Paro. Where did the Zakenim go? Right? So when a person is approaching a Paro, when there's Paro's in the world, not everyone's gonna make it. People are going to slip off. They're going to slip away. So we have to make sure that we're looking over our shoulder to make sure that my friend who in yeshiva was still by my side or right behind me, or maybe even right in front of me, is still there. Because if not for this, people are going to be chozim l'achorim, people are going to backslide. They're going to slip away. Hayom yifsha echad bekala. Today you'll see your friend, all of a sudden he's like dressing a little more casual, you know, or you're not seeing what the minion you usually see him at in the morning. And he tells you, yeah, I'm going to a different minion, or yeah, I was up late last night, doesn't mean anything. Ulamachar b'chamura. And then other things start to happen that are more severe. B'hayu nishmatim me'adas ha'kedusha ma'at ma'at asher yifshe yisrael me'yos am Hashem. Until the Jewish people no longer are recognizable as the Am Hashem. That one avera leads to the next. So how are we going to keep it together, Chevra? The answer is, Chevra, to be together. Uvamasha also my raven, yidnu lev la over avera achas kala kebichamura. By having people always looking out, the second you see someone slipping, you're not hesitating to get involved because you have an achrayus to always be involved. And that's how we save Klal Yisrael. Halamantash kol ma'is Hashem eino el letovaseino lahakimeinu. So in case you're feeling that this is just another burden that God is putting upon you, and he's going to come back to that theme in a second, it's not a burden. It's actually for the betterment of the tzibur, and you being part of that tzibur are going to benefit from that. Because if Jews look out for each other, we can keep it together. Okay? Chaver, let's go weiter. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'lo itchem levatchem v'gomer ki es asher v'gomer. Let's read the pasuk. Let's start by reading the pasuk. The psukim say, lo itchem levatchem anochi koris es abris hazos v'sa Allah hazos. It's not only those who are currently present, who are bound by this. Ki es asher yeshnu pawi manu omer hayom lefnei Hashem lokeinu v'es asher inenu pawi manu hayom. Both those who are here and those who are not here today are responsible for this. Okay? Says the Ruach Chaim HaKadosh, it's a very wordy way to say it. Ki es asher yeshnu pau imanu omed hayom lefnei Hashem Elokeinu. He says, kasha, lamo tzrich lomar v'lo itchem. First of all, if you're going to do the whole, you know, those who are here, those who are not here, so why do you have to introduce it by saying, v'lo itchem levadim, not only you, but also those who are here and those who are not here. So why do I need to say that not only you? Why do I need this introductory phrase of v'lo itchem levadchem? Not only you am I making the bris with. Just go to Pasuk Yud Dalet and say, those who are here are bound by it, those who are not here are bound by it. Why introduce it in this way? V'lo hispik ba'omro, why was it not enough to simply say, es asher yeshnu v'gomer, sheim osim shahayim medaber imahem, v'es asher v'gomer? Why isn't it enough to say those who are here, the ones I'm currently speaking to, and those who are not currently here? And it'll be obvious. Pasuk Yud Gimel becomes obvious. I don't need to introduce v'lo itchem levadchem. Not only you am I making the bris with. Just say, those who are here, those who are not here are bound by the bris. So he's answering a very subtle question. The Torah is coming to answer a very subtle question. Achein kavanas aksuvim hu sheba lechayvam lekabel aleim abrisva Allah ve'alzarem habayim achareim ad olam. Not only are they entering into the bris for the Jews who are currently present, both myself and everyone around me and everyone in my world, but I'm also taking achrayas for the world that's yet to come. I'm taking achrayas for my children and my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. Think about that on a day you're having a hard time getting up and going to shir. Now you might think, well, one more or one less shir about chalipin is not going to like make it or break it for my great-grandchild. But it might. It might. The commitments that you make now are going to set the direction and tone. How you choose to live will hopefully influence the way your children live and your grandchildren live and your great-grandchildren live, and halavai, there should be aliyah sadoros, that every generation is getting more connected and more committed. So if you only discovered God maybe when you went to Eretz Yisrael at the age of 18, which I think for some of us we feel that way, that we were only born not that long ago, right? We feel that the earlier part of our Jewish education was not as rich as we would have liked it to be. Okay, so maybe for your children they can get a head start. Right? And hopefully your grandchildren could be even better. So we're taking achrayas. The bris is binding us, what? To everyone. To everyone. And the language of the pasuk is saying, I'm not only talking about people who are physically present or out there but not physically present. I'm talking about people who don't even exist yet. That's what the pasuk is saying. You're taking achrayas for future generations. There's a great story. One of the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas once came to Yeshiva on a very snowy day. It's a famous story. And there was one guy in shir. And Rosh Yeshiva got up and he presented shir with like tremendous eslavos. And then like this one guy sitting there. Right? It's like a ridiculous scene. Picture him like sitting like in the back of the class, you know, also just to make it more geschmack. Yeah? And he's standing there and he's screaming like a big empty room. And he's giving it over with so much fire. And they asked him, like, what is that? Right? Like why did you? So he said, what do you mean? You think I only see one person in my shir? I see this one person. I see his grandchildren. I see his great-grandchildren. I see his great-great-grandchildren. This one shir changes the face of Jewish history. So therefore, v'hu armo, v'lo itchem levatem, perush. What does it mean? Lechayev eschem levat ani koris. Ela bein osam shem imanu bein osam v'gomer. U'me'atim lo haya omer ela es asher v'es asher. If the pasuk only said those were here and those were not here, anochi koris, lo haya nishma ela shahashem mechayev gam habam achareyem. This would only mean that what? That the people who are going to come at a later time, they are also bound by it. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about arvus. We're talking about your responsibility right now for those who are going to come later. Not the independent obligation that they have for themselves at a later point. The Torah is saying, Avalinu mechayev es asher yeshnu omeid sham al zar machareyem. The chiddush here of what? Is saying that you are bound. You have an achrayus for those who are going to come in the future. Right? I may not even meet them, but you have an achrayus to have hashpah on them. Umeomro lo itchem levadchem gila kavanaso shebaala asma shekoris imaomdim sham mosif lechayvam al hadoros. That those who are present, it's not saying that those who are not here will again have a responsibility to themselves. It's saying that those who are here have responsibility for those who will eventually be here. V'shir ha'kosav hu, lo itchem levadchem, ani mechayev ala amor. Ela af al doros haba macharecha. Future generations are bound. Are bound to you. Are your responsibility. V'zeh lo haya nishma, and that wouldn't have been clear had we not had this whole arichus of Pasuk Yud Gimel and Pasuk Yud Dalet. Okay? So look, just look how far again the responsibility goes. Let's keep going. Pasuk Tesvav, ki atem yadatem. Tzarech ledas le'ezer davar no sein akasav tam ki atem yadatem. Let's slow down for a second and read the pasuk. The pasuk says, atem yadatem, ki atem yadatem. You know how we lived in Mitzrayim and how we passed through Mitzrayim, and there was all sorts of negative influence, and we're being warned in these psukim, watch out for idolatry. Now what is this? Is the atem yadatem, there's two ways to learn it. Okay, let me slow down a little bit. Just want to be clear. The parsha began, we said, with arvus. Jews taking achrayis, atem nitzav mayom kulchem, taking responsibility. Okay? In a few psukim from now, the Torah is going to speak about the severity of idolatry. It'll be that if a person's going to hear words of idolatry, and he's going to get drawn in, right? Shoresh pore rosh ula'ana, there's going to be something unholy sprouting in a person's heart. Pen yesh b'chem isho isho mishpacha oshevet. He's going to turn away from Hashem. Pen yesh b'chem shoresh pore rosh v'la'ana. Maybe there's going to be something rotting inside that's going to sprout at a later time. We have to try to nip it in the bud. So the question's like this. Pasuk Tezvav that says, you passed through Mitzrayim, you saw bad things. Is that part of what we've been learning until now? Or is that the introduction to what we're about to learn about watch out for idolatry? So our Chaim HaKadosh quotes the Ramban that this pasuk, you know that you passed through Mitzrayim, watch out for idolatry. The Ramban learns it like that. This is the introduction to the psukim that are about to take place, the warning against idolatry. Can we learn this pasuk as being the concluding section of what we've been discussing? That's what the Or HaChaim's chiddush is. He argues on the Ramban. The Ramban says, this pasuk about you passed the Mitzrayim and you saw the other nations, it's a very nice introduction to watch out for idolatry, because you've seen idolatry. But the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, no, I'll tell you a deeper shot. I'll tell you that this warning about being amongst the other nations is really part of the commitment that you're making. And it answers a fundamental question on how Arvus works. Okay? How does Arvus work? Now before I do that, just very quickly, I want to give you a nice remez. Because how could I not? You're sitting on this pasuk 2 days before Rosh Hashanah. It would be a crime not to. What does the pasuk say? Watch out again for that which is rotting in your insides. Right? Maybe there's a shoresh pore rosh ula'ana, article translation. Maybe there's amongst you a root flourishing with gall and wormwood. Basically, it means that there's something in your heart that's going to sprout into an avodah zarah tree. Okay? But the pasuk says, shoresh pore rosh vila'ana. So the Svarim HaKadoshim say, shoresh starts with a shin, pore a pei, rosh a resh, vila'ana avav is Rashi Tevel's shofar. Because when a Jew sounds the shofar, That's the way we try to catch it before it happens. The shofar is the call, right? Is the cry of be careful. The shofar, which emanates from the depths of the heart, wants to get down to the depths of the person and say, is there maybe something? Is there a little avodah zarah somewhere deep inside you that could sprout at some point? And are you countering it? Are you fighting back against it?
What are the four words?
Shoresh, Poreh, Rosh, Vila'ana. It's in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Lest there should be a Shoresh, Poreh, Rosh, Vila'ana. But the shofar is the response. So now, what's the question the Rechaim says this answers? Very simple question. Very, very fair question that you may have asked one of your teachers in high school. Which is, I never signed up for Judaism. I never chose this. I was born into it. So how can I be bound? The question that Rishonim deal with. How could I be bound by a commitment that someone else made? How is that fair? Now, you can ask the same question about your responsibility to American government. Why am I bound by what the founding fathers of this country decided? Why didn't I get to vote when the laws were first created to shape and mold this country? But says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, let's look. He quotes the Ramban, and he says, I think the Ramban is a little bit of a stretch. That's what he says. So he says, I'll tell you what I think the Pshat and the Pasuk is. Right? Why are we referencing what happened in Mitzrayim? Look what he says. He says, V'ulai, you see? Pasuk Tazva, V'ulai shedibra akosav b'seder zeh, l'hoyer dover echad. V'hu? Ki lefi sheitzricham akosav l'ichanes l'chayiv imahem, gam abayim acharayim. Since we just said that we're signing up people to take responsibility for those in the future, and the people in the future themselves are going to be bound by the commitment that you're about to take on their behalf. So Yomar HaOmer, Sheshura Sadin Minageda Sadavar. The law negates such a thinking. Sharei Ein Chavin La'adam Shelo B'fanav. What's the klal? We touched on it in Kedushin Shir. Zachin La'adam Shelo B'fanav. I can do something positive for someone without his consent, but I can't take a responsibility. I can't be mechay of a person without his consent. We don't say chavin la'adam shalom b'fanav. I don't create problems for a person without their permission. I don't make their life more difficult without their permission. I can do something good for them without their permission. The assumption is that they want something good to happen to them. So how can I accept Torah for future generations? So what's the answer? Because Torah is good. It is Zachin La'adam Shalom B'fanav. He redefines our attitude towards Torah. Look what he says. V'lo to'il kabbalah zu. She'akablu avos al-banam. How does this work, you might ask? How can the avos obligate the future generations? L'zeh amar. Ki atem yadatem. Because you know full well why I gave you the Torah. I gave you the Torah so that you shouldn't live in the lowly way that the people of the world live. You saw Mitzrayim. You know what it looks like out there. That's how you want your children to grow up. Vatiru, you saw the disgusting things before your own eyes, right? I'm not being dramatic. The pasuk says, Shikutseyem, right? To'eva, you saw repulsive things. Perish, Re'isim she'enem ela sheketz v'to'eva. You've seen the lies of Mitzrayim. You've seen the falsification of their gods and their values. U'me'ata einchem ela zochim lahem. It's not at all a shayla. If your children get what Torah is, they'll understand you brought them the biggest gift in the world. To distance them from the repulsive ways of those who live in those ways. And therefore you can sign up the future generations. And that's why it says, that's dafka why the Torah uses such intense language. When it refers to the Avodah Zarah as Shikutseyem, Gilu Lehem. Repulsive, abominable things, disgusting things. Because the Torah is trying to make it very clear to us why it is that I'm allowed to mekabel this for future generations without the rishos. The achrayus that we have for the future generations is so important. Chavetz Chaim, whose yahrzeit was 2 days ago, has a nice var. This is found in the Chavetz Chaim al Torah, but not the traditional old school one volume one. There's a new 3-volume one that they put out. So if you look in there, it says that one time by a big asifa, by a big gathering, the Chavetz Chaim got up and he said the following. He said, the most important thing in the world today is chinuch habanim, is making sure that children are able to see that it's a zchus from one generation to the next. And the Chavetz Chaim said, if you look in the pasuk that's coming up, that says what? Hanistaros LaHashem Elokeinu. This is Pasuk Chav Ches, Jack, right? Chav Ches, Chav Ches. Hanistaros LaHashem Elokeinu. Vaniglos Lanu Ulevaneinu Ad Olam. What does it say on the words Lanu Ulevaneinu? Anyone know something unusual about those words? There's dots. There's dots. Yeah? There's dots over the words Lanu Ulevaneinu. What do dots on top of a word mean? Well, it's a good question. But the Chavetz Chaim says, you know what it means? You know what it means? The same way that Rami is highlighting his favorite parts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu highlights his favorite parts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put dots on Lanu Ulevaneinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, that is the Iker. Levaneinu is the Iker. Levaneinu is the Iker. The children are the Iker. Maybe you could say, you know the pasuk that I love so much, Banu Atem LaHashem Elokecha. Maybe that's the pshat also. Maybe the Iker of being a Jew is knowing that you're a child of Hashem. But the Chavetz Chaim said, the Iker of being a Jew is to make sure that what? That we take this achrayah seriously. And Baneinu, to realize the importance of having Hashpa on the next generation. That's how Torah lives on. Avos Ubanim. Connection between parent and child from one generation to the next. Okay? Okay. Let's. It's late. Alright, let's jump ahead for a minute. Let's go to Parak Lamed. And we'll end the year. Tav Shinayin Vav. We'll end with the very famous psukim about tshuva. We'll do two more little pieces. Okay, let's start from Parak Lamed Pasuk Aleph. First, a very basic yesod in terms of coming to these days. Elul is very frightening, and Tishrei can be very frightening, and it can be very. You can feel like this whole period is God trying to strike me down. It's a klala, but it's really a bracha, right? Be'emes, it's a bracha. We know it's a bracha. And the fact that I have to pass before HaKadosh Baruch Hu single file and be judged is a bracha. Because that helps me to become a better Jew. It helps me to actualize my own potential. So it's a bracha. Says the Pasuk, Perek Lamed, in our short Parsha. V'haya ki avo elecha kol ha-dvarim begomer. When all of these things happen to you, what are all these things? The Pasuk continues. Ha-bracha ve'aklala. When all of these things happen to you, who remembers the first Torah Chaim from last week's Parsha? V'haya ki savo al aretz. What did he say? What's v'haya? V'haya is a code word? Simcha. Good. V'haya, the simcha of coming to Eretz Yisrael. So now, tell me what the question in this pasuk is. V'haya ki yavo elecha kol ha-dvarim ha-bracha v'aklala. The joy of the klala. V'haya means simcha. V'haya is a bracha and the klala. I understand the v'haya of the bracha. What's the v'haya? If v'haya is a code word for something joyous, what's the v'haya of a curse? Tzarech ledas lama hutzrach lomar kol hadvar me'ila. First of all, why do you need to say kol hadvar me'ila if you're then going to clarify the bracha and the klala? Right. And what's the v'haya? V'ulai shi'achavin al-derech omram b'mesechas brachos daf nun dalar min aleph. Chayav adam levarich ala ra k'shem shum levarich ala tova. Before we come to Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara in Megillah says, every year before Rosh Hashanah, we have to read the Tochacha. Why? Because we want to be done with the klalos. So much so, Tosfos says, we always put Parshas Nitzavim in the middle. Tosfos Megillah, I believe, says we put Parshas Nitzavim in the middle so we don't have the klalos going right into Rosh Hashanah. But the truth is, it's not just get rid of the klalos. It means try to understand the klalos as really being a bracha. The Gemara in Brachos says a person has to say thank you to Hashem. Levarich al hara, k'shem shum mavarich al tova. The Mishnah at the end of Brachos. We need to bless Hashem for the good times and the bad times, because good and bad is our subjective experience. From Hashem's world, there's no such thing as bad. There is no such thing as bad. It's not always fun. It's not always comfortable. But there's no such thing as bad. A person who's sick and undergoes a surgical procedure, it's not fun and it's not comfortable, but it's very good. It's good for that person to be cut open by a knife. It's good. Right? It's good because they're sick and it's going to help them. So when Hashem has to be tough with us, it's good for us. Not always fun, it's not always pleasurable, but it's objectively good. And therefore, says the Gemara, Lekabel hara b'simcha, kederech shesameach al tova. What does it mean to make a bracha on the bad? To be able to say it with a smile on your face that this is really for the best. To really say, kol ma'ad avid rachmanu latav avid. Everything Hashem does is good. V'hu omro. V'haya. Shehu lashon simcha. And that's why it says v'haya. You should be happy no matter what comes your way. Whether it's bracha or klala. And again, we daven Rosh Hashanah for revealed good, like I told you from Rav Asher Weiss. It should be tova u'mesuka. We want revealed good in our life. But we have to also have the confidence that whatever Hashem is going to send our way, and again, it should only be good, al tiftach fe, it should only be good, but to realize that we're mekabel besimcha. Maybe that's why Rosh Hashanah is a day of simcha. Again, tempered simcha, but it's a day of simcha. Why? It could be the day that, God forbid, the worst things are decreed about me. The answer is, subjectively, it might not be good for me, but whatever Hashem decides is going to be good. To have the maturity to recognize that. So therefore, ki yavo elecha kol advarim, tekablim besimcha b'ashva yachad habracha v'aklala. To mekabel everything besimcha, whether it's bracha or whether it's klala. I'll tell you an amazing thing. The question is asked by the Radbaz. Rabbi David ben Zimra asked the following question in the Shalos and Chumas. The Radbaz in Chelek Beis, Tav Shin Samach Tes, 769, asked the following question. You look in the Tochacha, in B'chum Kosai, and what do you find? You find that it ends on a positive note. In Vayikra, the Tochacha ends on a positive note. How did the Tochacha end last week? Does it end with an Achama? Where is the Achama in the Tochacha? How does the Tochacha end? Ready for the last passing of the Tochacha? Hashem will return you to Egypt in ships, on the road of which I said, you shall never see it again. And there you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as slaves and maidservants, but there will be no buyer. You'll be so pathetic and so lowly and so worthless that even Mitzrayim, you can imagine, Mitzrayim would probably want to get us back, you know? That would be like, they win. Yeah? After our great escape from Mitzrayim to take the Jews back and enslave them again, we're going to be so lowly, says the Tochacha, that what? That even if I send you on boats back to Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim would say, you're not even shava pruta. Kinyan chalipin, you know what I mean? Like, it's totally worthless. So the Radbaz says, and the other Rishonim and Chazal already are really discussing, right? Whoa, what's going on here? What happened here? Where's the Nechama? B'chu Kosai ends on a positive note. It wraps up, you know, in a good way. We try to be Messiah in B'davar Tov. Why does the Tochacha and Kisavo not end B'davar Tov? Says Rabbi David ben Zimra. Says the Heilig Radbaz, who, by the way, lived in Egypt. So he went back to Egypt. He had to explain how he ended up in Egypt, and he had to explain for the Rambam how the Radbaz would comment on the Rambam. He had to explain how the Rambam ended up in Egypt. Says the Radbaz, I'll give you a simple answer. He says, if you look in the Tochacha and Kisavo, you'll notice something really interesting. If you never caught this before, you should, it's kedai just to go back after and just to see it with your own eyes and to say, how did I never catch this before? Throughout the Tochacha, from the beginning, if you don't listen to the voice of Hashem, all these bad things are going to happen to you. Hashem's going to ruin your crops and make the rain not fall. Right? Yakcha Hashem b'shchin. Hashem's going to afflict you with all sorts of things. Yacha Hashem b'shchin ra, yolich Hashem oscha. Why am I picking select psukim? You see the word that I keep saying over and over again? Did you catch it yet? Lo avata, tachas ra lo avata, Hashem alokecha. Yeah? I keep saying Hashem. I keep saying yudke vavke. The Baal Turim points out 26 times. That's the gematria of Hashem's name. Yudkei Vavkei. 26 times in the Tochacha, it doesn't say Elohim. 26 times. I'm doing a bad job picking out the psukim, but 26 times. Yiteincha Hashem nigaf lefnei oivecha. You're going to be beaten by your enemies. But Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. That's midas hachesed. That's midas harachamim. Why does it keep saying Hashem's name of mercy? Says the Radbaz, the Tochacha doesn't have to end on a nice, cute little wrap-up note like, oh, but by the way, it'll be okay. Because the Tochacha is filled every step of the way with what? With Yudkei Vavkei. Hashem is with you every step of the way. 26 times. The gematria of Hashem's name itself. So it's 26 times 26, so to speak. What's 26 times 26? 676. 676. Shteitin Svarma Kadoshim. Pasuk in Tehillim says, David HaMelech says, Rabos Ros Tzadik Mikulam Yatzilenu Hashem. The tzaddik goes through a lot in this world. Right? But Hashem saves him. Hashem always saves him. Rabos, Raos, Tzadik, Mikulam, Yatzilanu, Hashem. There are many bad things. There's Tochai out there. But Hashem will save you. What's the gematria of Raos? Rabos, Raos. Great are the evils that the Tzadik endures. Raos? 676. 676. Rabos, Raos, Tzadik. The Tzadik has all sorts of troubles. Mikulam, Yatzilanu, Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei. 26 times Hashem's name is gematria 676. Raos, Rabos, Raos. There's a lot of Raos in the world. But for every bad thing in the world, yeah? Gamazelu mazeh. For every bad thing in the world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu put himself opposite it to protect us. 676. Now, I want to tell you something super awesome, but I also have to tell it to you in an honest way. What's super awesome is that we have a Kabbalah that how many words are in the Tochacha? 676.
No.
The problem is there aren't 600. You have to know how to cheshbon. Okay? It's not, if you count it, you're not going to get 676. So I'm telling it to you because Sadiqe Emes said such a thing. And that's mamish like the clincher of this whole little vart that I'm sharing with you. That is 26 times, the tshuva from the Radbaz, the Baaturim, Rabos Raos Tzadik, Kulam Atzilenu Hashem. And there are exactly 676 words in the Tochacha. The problem is, it doesn't seem to be true. But if Tzadikim said it, we have to know, again, where they were counting from or how they were counting. But I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared to throw it out yet. I am prepared to try to be honest with you. Because, God forbid, like we learned yesterday in Baal Tosef, if I tell you this is MS, and then you go and count it, so then it's Ziyof HaTorah, then I forge the Torah. So I don't want to lie to you and say that it is precisely 676. But again, you will see, perhaps in learning Sefer Chassidus, this number 676, and it's an important number to be aware of. Okay, in conclusion, the last piece for today, turn the page, HaBracha VaHaKlala, the last little paragraph, HaBracha VaHaKlala, Perish, to end on a note of tshuva. HaBracha VaHaKlala, let's go back to the Pasuk for a second. The Pasuk says, when all of these things happen to you, the Bracha and the Klala, VaShevosa El VaVecha, B'chol HaGoyim, and you'll take it to heart among all the nations that Hashem has dispersed you, and then what will you do? V'shavta Hashem lokecha v'shamata b'kolam. You'll come back to Hashem. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, a very powerful vart in tshuva, and take it with you to Rosh Hashanah. Perish. Lo mi bayi ba'od ha'tova aleihem imir shiu v'chazir b'tshuva shiu merutzim el Hashem. It's not enough to just say that what? That when a person is good, when good things are happening to you, and then he strays from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's able to do tshuva. Ela filo achar shinim osu be'enei Hashem. But even if your relationship with Hashem has gotten so bad, the context of the pasuk, pashup shot, that you're now living amongst the goyim, you've been dispersed, you've been kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, you've been rejected, you're nimas be'enei Hashem, you're repulsed in the eyes of Hashem. V'shilach bam charona po, like the pasuk says, Hashem's divine wrath has flared against you. V'yidicha me'al ponov, and Hashem has chased you away. U'litzad etzar asher tesovaveim, chozer b'tshuva, and yet amongst all that surrounds you, a Jew decides, I'm coming back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Komru v'ashevosu b'chol agoyim, afal pichein yoshiv Hashem shvusa. You should realize that even if a Jew is very far away, it's possible for him to come back to Hashem. And if he doesn't want to come back on his own, like the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to the Kseh HaShemayim, Misham Mikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha. Hashem will chase after you. And don't ever think that when Hashem sent you away and treated you a little bit rough and put you through that klala, it's still Vahaya. It's Milashon Simcha. It wasn't because Hashem hates you. It's because Hashem wants you to undergo that surgical procedure to be a healthier person. So Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. Atem Nisav Mayom. Let's remember the shortest part we saw today. That if you're Lifnei Hashem, then you're Nitzavim. That you're able to come to Rosh Hashanah, you're able to stand up tall. Going back to the, what are they called again? Pantsnis? The glasses? Pantsnis? Yeah? To be able to be bent over and to be able to stand up tall at the same time. To be humbled before Hashem, to come to the Yom HaDin, and to know that it is a Yom HaDin, but at the same time to say, I'm close to Hashem, and therefore Nitzavim, I can stand up tall. Because I know I can always do tshuva wherever I am. And I'm going to take a chayis not only for myself, but for my family, for my community, for Gan's Klal Yisrael, and even for my children and grandchildren in the future. Because I know that Torah is a privilege. It's not chavin la'adam shol b'fanav, it's zachin la'adam shol b'fanav. It's a great privilege to come to these days, even though they're intense days. But to realize that it's all good. Even the klala is good. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be with us every step of the way and watch over us and bless all of us with the chesiva, the chesima, taiva. Shkoyach.